I'm Vermont Edition producer Daniela Fierro, popping in to say we've edited this podcast a little for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Over the last few decades, Black politicians have gained a greater foothold in political leadership at all levels of government. Just look at Vice President Kamala Harris as one prominent example, or Vermont's Senate Minority Leader, Randy Brock. But there are still lags. Only one of the current 50 governors is Black, for example. And Vermont has just a handful of Black legislators in its 180-member statehouse. February is Black History Month. Each week of this month, Vermont Edition is devoting one of our shows to exploring a different aspect of Black life in our region. Today, how Black politicians are shaping local government. Later in the hour, we're going to talk with three current and former Black politicians here. But first, we are joined by the son of a groundbreaking Vermont lawmaker who passed away in 2023, Luvenia Dorsey Bright. Bright grew up in the Midwest and moved to Vermont in the early 1970s with her family. She got an advanced degree in education at the University of Vermont and taught at Colchester and Burlington High Schools. She also held leadership positions in many civic organizations, including the Black Professionals Network of Vermont, the Minority Women's Business Partnership, and the local NAACP chapter. She was elected to the House of Representatives in 1988, representing South Burlington, and served three terms. Here to tell us more about her life and legacy is her son, Bill Bright. He joins us from Alexandria, Virginia. Bill, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Michaela. It is an absolute pleasure to be here today and talk about mom with you all.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Bill, your mom's campaign slogan when she was running for the legislature was, "The time is right for Bright." You were a freshman in college, I believe, when your mom decided to run. What do you remember about that time?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, one of the best campaign slogans around.
It's so good. Sure.
It still is. It ages well. It ages well. But, you know, what I remember, you know, I was a freshman at the University of Vermont. I was on the men's basketball team. So that was all new, making new friends, doing all of that. And I got a call one day from my dad, who was a professor at the university. "Hey, let's get together for lunch, you know, one of these days this week." And it was to tell me mom had decided to run for the state legislature.
Hmm.
I remember it being surprised, but really very quickly understanding that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And really looking back at some of the things that maybe I hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to the things she was active in, and as well as her teaching. Yeah, it made sense that that would be a next step and that people were interested in her holding a position like that.
Did you help with her campaign at all?
I think most of what I did was grabbing a couple of buddies and, you know, passing out flyers, knocking on doors in between, you know, weekend basketball practices and things like that. That was probably the most I did. One of her two campaign managers, Linda Morrell and Chris Leonard, were the two campaign managers. Linda Morrell's son is one of my best friends. He was an artist. He drew, I'm trying to find it, but one of the first campaign flyers we left indoors with the slogan, "Time is right for Bright," had a clock on it, hand-drawn clock. He was an artist. He drew that piece. So I was involved that way, brought in some of my friends and stuff to do things, lay work, carry stuff around. That was mostly the way I was involved.
Hmm. And when she was elected, as I mentioned earlier, she became the first Black woman to be elected to Vermont's state government. When you think back on that time, how did that fact hit young Bill Bright, and how does it hit you today?
I think both then and now, one. I was always impressed with her taking that on and knowing that that was something that potentially was history making that was happening. And that take, you know, honestly, it takes a lot of guts. You're in a, at the time, a very Republican state and not a lot of minorities, obviously. And it, you know, it was a step out off a ledge, had the support, had people there, but it's a personal step you've got to take. So I was always impressed with that. I was always, you know, it always kind of made me feel, hold my head up a little higher, knowing that she was doing that and holding that spot. Now, conversely, I will say, she didn't run with that at, you know, that wasn't the thing she ran on. She did not run as a African-American woman to be the first African, you know, woman of color in the Vermont state legislature. Mm-hmm. That was not the campaign. The campaign was about education. The campaign was about opportunity, inclusion, access, you know, representing people who traditionally maybe didn't have a seat at the table, right? That was more impressive than being the first. Mm. And I think even as an adult, as a 55-year-old man, that's still the more impressive part, that she didn't wear that on her, didn't wear the obvious on her sleeve.
If you were one of Lavinia Bright's former students or knew her during her time as a legislator in Vermont, you can give us a call at 800-639-2211. We're currently discussing her life and legacy with her son, Bill Bright. Bill, as you mentioned, your mom cared a lot about education and about women, and that those priorities really came through in her work in Montpelier. She served as the ranking member of the House Health and Welfare Committee. And while she was there, she stewarded the passage of Vermont's first Parental and Family Leave Act. Do you think her own personal experience of balancing motherhood with this thriving and very multifaceted career impacted that work on parental and family leave?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And the same in some other things I know she was active in, but in that, and I had been thinking about that, I'm glad you brought it up earlier today. I think she used her personal experiences and personal life came out in the things that she worked on. And that is a perfect example. You know, you're a young African-American woman with a young, at the time, well, when we moved, right, it was just me. I was 1 or 2 years old. Your husband is starting this new job. There was certainly some isolation to that, right? And so you're there with this baby, and I think that that, and then you have another child. I think that all plays out in, here I'm at the legislature. What are the ways we can make those situations and that point in people's lives for women easier? And I'll also say that one of the key things that she brought to that law, besides just kind of shepherding through the process and all that, was I know she sponsored a provision that extended paternity leave for the first time in the state. And I think that is a direct line to, you know, my dad probably having, and I don't know this, and I might be talking out of turn, but, you know, him having to go back to work quite soon after the birth of my sister, right? Whereas when I had my two children, I got 4 weeks of paternity leave. It was a very different system, right?
Right.
And I think her experience with that played out in the way that legislation probably moved forward and what was included.
Hmm. Do you remember your mother sharing stories from Montpelier or telling you about her experiences as part of the lawmaking process and as the sole woman of color there?
We... I, I to be honest, not a whole lot. I mean, there were times where I would drive to Montpelier on a Friday afternoon and pick her up and drive her home if dad couldn't, or
that's a good son.
Some situation like that where I would do that. And yeah, we'd have some conversations, but they weren't so much about her being a person of color in the state legislature. They were more about the processes, yeah, and how the place worked. I had been in Boy State in high school, so I spent a summer, a week there doing Boy State, where you kind of mock government, and I was a political science major. So I was having these experiences in college that were feeding right into what was happening in my house. And being able to, there's obviously the famous UVM professor, Frank Bryan was one of my mentors, and one of my professors took a lot of his classes that really focused on Vermont politics. So I was getting involved in school and things that this was like right off the street information, how it works, and putting those things together. So I had more of those type of conversations with mom than about, so what's it like being the only black woman in the legislature?
Right. You talked politics.
I kind of had, yeah. And I, I probably had an idea of what that probably felt like, because you're walking into rooms where you're the only person of color. There's certainly going to be people who are just going to discount you, right out of the bat. But she, and we have heard, my sister and I in particular, have heard stories since she passed about her and how she interacted with folks in the state legislature, and, instances where she just, had to put people in check in public in front of everybody. Like, no, that's not the way we're going to do this today. Yeah. And I can see her in her very polite Midwestern way, putting people in their place so the work can continue. Because in the end of the day, that's what she was about. Getting the work done.
Let's go to the phones. We have a State Senator Keisha Rahm Hinsdale calling in. Senator Rahm Hinsdale, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were the next woman of color to be elected to the legislature after Lavinia Bright, and that there was about a 20-year gap there. Is that right?
There was a 20-year gap. High bill. Just deep bow Hello. To the Bright family and to Luvenia Dorsey Bright as the second woman of color to ever serve in the legislature, and always thinking about what she must have gone through and how I can honor her legacy. And I'm just really grateful we're going to be commissioning a portrait of her for the State House.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's overdue, frankly. There is only one person of color who has a portrait in the State House. It's Alexander Twilight from about 200 years before Luvenia Dorsey Bright served. And, portraits in the State House are very symbolic of people feeling included and welcomed and a part of government. And it just has been very exciting that this portrait is coming together. I wouldn't say quickly, but a year's time is lightning speed in the legislature. And it's just been a privilege to work with the Bright family and with colleagues and Vermonters of all stripes who see the value and importance of having a gathering place that honors a pioneer like Luvenia Dorsey Bright.
Oh. Well, Senator Keisha Rahm Hinsdale, thank you for calling in. I'd love to get, Bill, your thoughts on this effort to commission a portrait of your mom that would hang in the State House in Montpelier.
Yeah, we're very humbled and very proud as a family that this portrait is being commissioned. Keisha was at the forefront of this idea. And so happy to have everybody's involvement. I will take the opportunity to say we are fundraising for the portrait. We need to raise about $50,000 for this effort, and we are about 95% there.
Wow.
And so I'm putting a call out to the public if folks are interested in supporting the effort. If you go to the Friends of the Vermont State House website, which is friendsvtstatehouse.org, and click on the donate button, you'll see a place for the Lavinia Bright, the Lavinia Dorsey Bright portrait, and you can make a donation. Anything is welcome. Any support. We really want it to be something that all Vermonters take some pride in. So I put that out there to the public.
Bill Bright is the son of the late Lavinia Dorsey Bright, the first woman of color to serve in Vermont's state legislature, as well as a civic leader, a teacher, and a mother. Bill, thank you so much for helping us honor your mom today.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it.
Black politicians serve in many levels of our local government. Today is Vermont Edition's second installment of our February series honoring Black History Month. And for the rest of the hour, we're going to speak with three past and current politicians about their experiences in our local government. Joining me today from Montpelier is first-term State Senator Joe Major, a Democrat representing Windsor. He formerly served as an officer in the U.S. Army and is also the executive director of the Upper Valley Aquatic Center in White River Junction. Senator Major, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michaela.
I'm glad to have you. And I'm joined in the studio today by Thomas Renner, the deputy mayor of Winooski. He was elected in 2022 as a Winooski city councilor and the year after was appointed deputy mayor. He ran in last year's Democratic primary for lieutenant governor, challenging incumbent David Zuckerman. Deputy Mayor Thomas Renner, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Great to be here.
And from Burlington, we have Zariah Hightower. She is a former progressive Burlington City Council member and was the first woman of color to serve on the council. She served for 4 years, starting in 2021, and she is currently an adjunct professor at Champlain College. Zariah Hightower, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad to have all three of you with us today. Senator Major, we'll start with you, because you're in your very first term in state government right now, in Montpelier. Has your time so far at the State House there met or challenged your expectations?
Both. Absolutely both. The challenge is to learn the job, which is somewhat daunting, particularly now in this time that we have. The other thing is, you know, I ran because I wanted to help people. And the more I am learning this job, the more I find that I can do that. Now, running, I was asked, you know, if you do win, you may be only the fourth African-American to be senator in this state. And the state's been in existence since 1791. And you think about that, and that's a little overwhelming. Hmm. And it's overwhelming because of the young African-Americans that may want to run for office or may want to run for the Senate, the House, or any political office, and you look at the role models that they have, there's very few. You know, I hearken back to, I was a tennis player in college, and I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C. And growing up, my idol was Arthur Ashe. And it was because he was it. He was the only African-American playing tennis in a predominantly white sport. So if I can, and my colleagues on the radio right now can be role models for those that want to attain political office, I think we've done that.
Hmm. Yeah, that role or that responsibility of being a role model. Deputy Mayor Thomas Renner, I'd love for you to reflect on that, because you live in a city, Winooski, that is one of the most, diverse municipality in the state. And I can imagine there are lots of people looking up to you.
Yeah, you know, I think that even though we are the most diverse city in the state, our representation still has been primarily white residents of Winooski. So I was very cognizant of that when I was elected, to know that there were many people who hadn't seen themselves in city government. It's an important role to have, and it's something that I cherish, but I try to keep it in mind all the time.
Hmm. Zariah Hightower, when you were elected, you also were a first, just like Lavenia Bright, who we were talking about earlier. You were the first woman of color to serve on the Burlington City Council. How did that responsibility feel for you going into that role?
I think it was an exciting part of the campaign. It is also a lot of responsibility. And then I think recognizing some of my privilege and just ability to be a role model. I think it's no accident that Burlington's first woman of color elected to the city council, you know, went to grad school at Yale and is lighter skinned. So I think there's a little bit also of being a model minority sometimes is what it takes to get into these positions, and just hoping that you're opening the door to more people going forward rather than less. Mm.
Thomas Renner, did that feeling that you need to be a model minority, is that?
Yeah, that resonated with me. You know, I forget who said it. I think it was Oprah about Barack Obama just saying that he had to be three times as good, three times as smarter, three times as more ready. Everything has been expected a lot more of folks of color who do serve. So hearing Zariah say that, I was like, yep, I also have a grad school degree. I also am lighter skinned. So it definitely resonates. And I feel like it's something that a lot of politicians of color still resonate on and think about regularly.
Mm. Senator Major, does it for you?
I think so. I will also tell a story of me coming to Vermont for the first place. I, as everyone is apt to do, you Google wherever you're moving, particularly if you're not sure where you're going to. And there were two people that I looked of, and I looked of people of color, because let's face it, Vermont is 1%, a little over 1% African American. And so two names popped up, Kaya Morris and Kevin Christie. In the midst of the Kaya Moore situation, it gave me pause, because she was not protected, in my opinion, from harassment, and eventually had to resign in the House of Representatives. And it was such a shame, because a person that can offer a different perspective, a person that can offer really tremendous things, had to resign because of harassment, because of the color of her skin. And she was not protected in the way that she could have been protected. And then the other person was Kevin Christie. And ironically, Kevin Christie is one of the longest serving representatives in the House. And he is an African-American who I ironically live around the corner from now.
And folks might know him as Coach Christie.
Yes. And who has been a mentor to me throughout my time of being in Vermont. Just someone that can guide me through the shark-infested waters of politics. And quite frankly, life. Because having someone that has the same experiences that you have gone through, can understand things that you're dealing with, is so valuable in trying to assimilate and to, quite frankly, do your job. It was invaluable for me.
Hmm. Well, you preempted one of my questions, and I'm glad you did, Senator Major, about political idols or mentors in your work. Zariah Hightower, do you have any political idols or people that you looked to for guidance when you were serving on the city council?
Oof. No, I think that's sometimes the problem with being, nobody comes to mind right away. And I think that's sometimes the problem with being a first. I did, when I first started, I had a conversation with Kai Morris about just how to be, you know, in my position as a Black woman. And so I was grateful for her mentorship. And then also, you know, maybe to the senator's comments around also then, you know, because I also had, I guess, difficult experiences when I was on the council, you know, from stalking at my place of work to hate mail coming to my house after Fox News picked up a story around me. And so she was also my community when I was in office of being like, I don't like, what does a safety plan look like? How do we address some of these things?
Yeah.
And then also at some point, you know, I had to convince the rest of the city council to take our addresses down off the city website to try to increase my own safety. And so I guess my number one, I would say, is Kaya, just because she was so present for me, both when I started and then when I was on the council, of navigating some of the unique challenges of being a Black woman politician in Vermont.
Mm. And you chose not to run for city council again last election. And in an interview with 7 Days, you said that you were disillusioned with the position. I mean, you said just now some of the reasons that could lead to that disillusionment. Could you walk us through that decision? And I'm also curious if you might ever return to politics.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I'm a policy wonk. I studied economics and environmental policy in undergrad and in grad school. And so my heart is really with the issues. And I'm a big debater. I almost went to law school because everyone told me all the time that if you argue a lot, you should be a lawyer. So I like disagreeing. I'm emotional. I will argue passionately. And I did become a little disillusioned with the political process. Even like when I was first running, the progressives ended up welcoming me, but Vermont can be a place of wait your turn, which is a little hard for, you know, a lot of folks who are Black or who are other minorities or new to the political game, either because they just haven't had the capacity to pay attention to politics or they are new to Vermont as a state. And then being a counselor is, sometimes I'm a little jealous of folks who do state government because people tend to be a little less attuned, but people care a lot. And to bring that much negative energy often, especially like negative personal energy, can be really grating to people. You're, you know, like, can it takes more of a toll, I think, on women, melanated folks, trans and queer people, and anyone who has a history of trauma and feeling safe when the tone takes on this threatening undertone or in some cases overtone. And so I spent way more of my time than I wanted to talking about, not talking about the issues, but, you know, just, you know, dealing with personal attacks or trying to get filters on my email that would filter out the N word or the F word, like all kinds of curse words. Mm. And that just, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said earlier that there were people like Kaya Morris, a former state legislator, who were in your corner during those times. Thomas Renner, are there people who come to mind for you who have been a guide, a mentor in your own path through politics?
Yeah, you know, when I knew I was going to be coming on the program, I was thinking of who some of the people are that I look up to. And I realized, I think, similar to what Zariah was saying, that a lot of them were kind of national figures, which is great to see those folks like Maxine Walters and Barack Obama. But, you know, locally, I didn't have anybody at first when I first got into it. You know, I didn't know many other Black folks who were in government. You know, recently things have changed. Keisha Ram has been, who was just on moments ago, has been amazing. And we speak all the time about a variety of things, and one of them being people of color in politics. Gotten to know both of the folks on the show today. But it really was apparent to me, like, oh, there aren't many people who look like me who are doing this. Mm. Many people I can talk to have experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joe Major, in Montpelier, there are only a handful of Black lawmakers there, as you mentioned. Now, on Capitol Hill, there is a congressional Black caucus for Black lawmakers, and that doesn't that there isn't a counterpart for that in Vermont's state legislature. And I'm curious why you think that is. Do the Black lawmakers here have very different political beliefs? Is it an issue of numbers or something else?
I think it's an issue of numbers. They're just so few of us, and some of it is political beliefs as well. The only other African American in the Senate is Randy Brock, and he's a Republican. And although I can go to Senator Brock and ask on policy and things of that nature, granted, I've just been in the Senate for about a month. I just don't know him all that well.
Sure.
I think that the numbers probably bear that out more than anything else. They're just so few in both the House and the Senate. If that were to rise, maybe there could be a caucus, but it just doesn't have the numbers right now.
Mm. Thomas Render, you ran for lieutenant governor in the primary last year.
Yeah.
what did you learn or take away from that experience?
Wow, so many things. It was really an amazing experience. I had a ton of fun. There was a lot of upsets. There was a lot of late nights, but I learned that I continue to learn that I love this place, that I love Vermont, and I want to stay here. So that was really, really great, because that's not the same feeling that a lot of folks who look like me have. But, you know, I've been lucky in my career in city council that I haven't experienced a lot of hate because of who I am, because of the fact that I'm Black. But while I was running statewide, I really saw some of that, experienced it on social media, experienced it in person. So it really educated me on what a lot of Black Vermonters feel throughout our state. And I learned... I just learned a different way to run and to continue to advocate for what you care for and what you believe in. A lot of why I ran is because I am a man of color, and we don't have that representation, as we've mentioned here, in Montpelier in our state house. So I learned a lot. We'd have to get coffee to talk about it.
It was
a great opportunity and a great experience.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening and you are thinking about running for public office, or you're a Black leader in our region hoping to inspire others, give us a call at 800-639-2211 or send us an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Senator Major, you also completed a campaign recently for your Senate seat. What are your main takeaways from that process of hitting the road and talking to so many people in your community?
I think more than anything else, you have to be genuine. You have to actually talk to people on a level that I'm going to put in the finger quotes, not as a politician, but as a Vermonter, and find out what their needs and wants are. I was lucky to have run on a select board in Hartford, and I'm currently the town treasurer as well. And that kind of gave me an idea of how to run and also what municipal politics is about. And then, of course, you know, running for state office. But there aren't many that look like us that are out there. So I kind of go back to, you know, seeing people either running or in the position that are African American, that are Asian, that are Latino, that young people can look up to and say, you know what, maybe I can do it. And that's kind of the key, you know, to have those role models and finally go, you know, I'm going to throw my hat into the ring, win or lose, and I'm going to try my best. But seeing someone who has done it and being able to do it.
Hmm. Zariah Hightower, considering the challenges and the threats to your safety that you faced as a city councilor in Burlington, I'm curious what you would do if a young person of color came to you today saying, hey, I'm thinking about running in the next city council race. What would you say to them?
I get to have this conversation a lot, and I do love it because I am, you know, I am, despite the fact that I chose to exit, I am really passionate about getting new faces into our local politics. And so I try to be really honest about what it actually means and the toll that it will take, just so folks can prepare for that. And then also get the support that I got throughout my campaign. But then also, you know, if they win, I think it's really important to continue to show up. And I had so many, truly so many people who showed up for me, supported me, were willing to go on walks with me, you know, get food to my house after I was a city councilor. And so being upfront and honest, and if folks decide to go for it anyway, then being there, not just for the campaign, but once people are in office, which is when, yeah, some of the hard work starts.
Right.
And Michaela,
Go ahead, Senator Major.
Just because Zariah said something that I think is really poignant, that there are good parts and bad parts. And I think all three of us have had threats during our campaigns. And that's very real. And if you're on the outside of Vermont and looking in, you think that, you know, it's a very liberal state and, you know, despite, you know, only having 1% of the population being African American, everybody, they see Bernie Sanders and they see Senator Leahy, or they see Becca Ballard, or they see Senator Welch, and they go, you know, everybody's locking arms and singing Kumbaya, and that quite frankly isn't it. There are situations where it becomes real, and all three of us have experienced that. And despite that, we have fought through and fought the good fight and want to help people. And so I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit disappointed that Zariah hasn't thrown her hat back in the ring, because I think she is an amazing voice, and hopefully we will hear that voice once again.
I can't make any promises, but maybe in the future.
I think we'll that's Senator Major promising to be your campaign manager, Zariah.
That's what I heard.
We could do a dual role. Absolutely.
Thomas Renner, have you experienced those types of threats or aggression?
Yeah. You know, the Lieutenant Governor campaign definitely put you know, my candidacy on the radar of a lot of folks, you know, in Winooski. We are a very welcoming and accepting community. But once I stepped outside of Winooski and started running all over the place, the campaign received some really hurtful and threatening messages at times. I won't say where, but I was at a parade in one location and somebody said, I'm not going to shake your hand, N-word. So, yeah, I've experienced it. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, I chalked it up to just being a public persona, and that's what you have to deal with. But nobody should really have to deal with that. And it is something that I think keeps really great voices, like Soraya's, but many others, outside of politics, because a lot of people don't want to deal with that, and they shouldn't have to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's talk about some of the possible supports for people of color and potential future Black politicians in our region. And Vermont has this very kind of successful and well-known program called Emerge that works to get more women into political office. Is there or should there be a sort of counterpart for that? Thomas Renner.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, you know, I when I was running for the Lieutenant Governor for an hour, I was looking to see if such an organization existed. I believe there had been, that Keisha had started something. Mm-hmm. And
I believe named after Lavinia, yes, Bright, yeah, we were just discussing.
But I don't think that they're entirely very active at the moment. I think it would be great if there was. You know, I've spoken with other folks, other politicians in the state of color, about at least getting together and trying to help each other out. And, you know, one thing I find is that people of color in politics tend to take on a lot, so the schedules are really busy. But I think it would be fantastic if there was something, if there was somebody who's brand new looking to run for a school board or whatever it may be, if they knew there's an organization with people that I can go to. And, you know, Joe mentioned it earlier, you know, as I've run, and I think running and being a politician, folks then say, oh, there is someone for me to look up to talk to reach out to. And I love serving in that role. I love being able to mentor people. But it maybe shouldn't have to be that difficult that you have to seek someone out. I would love for there to be an organization that does that.
Right. Senator Major, what are your thoughts there?
I concur with that wholeheartedly. I come from Buffalo, New York, born and raised there. And there was a organization called Grassroots that did a similar thing and supported black candidates and gave the ins and outs of and the pitfalls of politics. And it's unfortunate that we do not have that right now. I agree with Thomas, is, you know, that's something that maybe we should look into and develop. But I will also agree with Thomas, is we have a lot on our plate and to add something more. But all that said, we continue to be role models. My email and my phone number is on the congressional website, and I will answer any question from anyone, no matter who it is, on how to get into politics and like I said, avoid those pitfalls.
Mm. And Zariah Hightower, you talked about having a lot of conversations with young people, and you also are an adjunct at Champlain College. I'm curious for your thoughts about when we could start building these supports for Black Vermonters who might want to enter politics. Like, is this something that I don't know, could happen at the high school level?
I feel like. I mean, high school, there's so many high schools that are smarter than me. And I've talked to a few Burlington high school classes, but I definitely feel like I wish we would lower the voting age a little bit so high schoolers could get even more involved. But I love, I feel very passionate. I love working with college age students. Yeah. And I think creating access for them, but also just other folks in their 20s and 30s, you've maybe put a little bit of a bee in my bonnet about, figuring out having a system like that that's kind of outside of a party system and just allows more folks who hold a marginalized identity to learn the infrastructure to run for office.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple minutes left, but I'm hoping each of our guests could share, you know, in this very complicated time of transition, both nationally and locally, one policy priority or one issue that is very close to your heart that you're going to be prioritizing in your work this year, either in elected office or outside of it. Senator Joe Major, we'll start with you.
Well, I am currently the vice chair of the Agriculture Committee in the Senate, and the grants federally that are being withheld right now from our farmers are devastating. And for me, it is trying to support our farmers because without them and the prices of food, our food stock trickles down to a point where everyone suffers. And so that is a major priority for me. And quite frankly, the other priority for me, I'm also on the Senate institutions, is our prison system. And in particular, our women's prison. It is abysmal right now. And quite frankly, we need to figure out something for our women's prison. And I want to make sure that that becomes a priority for me as well.
Mm. Zariah Hightower, an issue close to your heart in 2025.
Yeah, environment and housing are my background, and that's always what I'm going to focus on. But I think 2025, just given everything that's happening nationally and internationally. I love Vermont. I love the people of Vermont, especially Chittenden County and especially Burlington. But I'm really excited about focusing on democracy issues. So yeah, things like supporting the next slew of candidates, campaign finance, ranked choice voting, to keep our democratic institutions strong in Vermont as we kind of face the blow of what's happening nationally.
Mm, thank you. And Deputy Mayor Thomas Renner, what do you hope to focus on this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that our focus is changing almost daily with everything coming from the Trump administration. But what I want to focus on locally and in the state is housing. I think that housing ties into so many of the problems that we see. I know everybody says we got to work on housing, but we really do. And I'm really proud of the things that we've done in Winooski and that we're going to be doing to try to increase our housing stock. So if everyone else could do that, that would be great.
Winooski's Deputy Mayor Thomas Renner, thank you so much for joining us
thank
today.
Thank you for having me. This has been really great.
Also in Burlington, we have been speaking with former Burlington City Council member Zariah Hightower. Zariah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
And last but not least, in Montpelier, State Senator Joe Major of Windsor. Senator, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.